We're going to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you would lead us as we open this book and guide us into all truth. I pray that you would bless all your people today in the name of Jesus Christ, wherever they be, Father. Help them. Give them understanding and the glad surrender of those who are willing to do your will no matter what. I pray that you would bring your people to revival and help us to stand strong for you in this evil day that we live in. Amen. Well, we are talking about David and his awful sin of adultery with Bathsheba and all that went along with it. And we have spoken of David and things that he needed to do to ensure that he kept himself from sin. And we have spoken of Uriah and things that every man should do in his household to protect himself, his wife, his family, and so on. Everything that Uriah could do. And we don't know that Uriah had any specific blame in this situation for David's sin, but it's certainly possible that he did, that he didn't give the upkeep to his wife that she needed, and therefore she was more susceptible to being drawn away by another man. We are going to talk about Bathsheba this morning. And so let's just read a few verses. It says in verse 2, "And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, 'I am with child.'" I have not as many scriptures to go to this morning, but I would like to talk a little bit about the temptation that girls are to guys, and hopefully the standard of God in biblical morality, in biblical dress, in biblical modesty is something that not only we do here, but that we know what we are doing and we know why we are doing it, because we are living in a world right now where we are doing it alone. Everybody around us has quit anything that has anything to do with sense. And if we are going to continue doing it, we have to know why we are doing it, because otherwise we are going to drift further and further and further from the truth, because that will be the call of society. So I would like to just start by saying something that is incredible, but it's undoubtedly the truth. David was evil inside. He had a heart like every other human being has. He had the ability to take another man's wife and sin. That's awful that any man has that ability. But we are going to say this morning that David would have this record of his life completely clear. It would have never happened. He never would have sinned with this woman. He never would have sought to kill her husband. And he never would have had the curses that followed on his life because of his sin if he had never seen her taking a bath. That's the truth. If David had never seen what he saw, he never would have sinned the sin that he sinned. Now, it is possible, because David was a sinner and he had the ability in him to do wrong, it is possible that even if he had never seen such a thing, he could have still sinned. If a guy is going to get in trouble with a girl, whether he's married or single, it is the much more rarer situation that he is tempted into a relationship with a woman that he should not be in because he saw her not dressed than a million other reasons, which is generally the leaders into those wrong relationships. That's beside the point at the moment, because right now we are talking about Bathsheba in her particular and specific situation. And if she had not been taking a bath where a man could see her naked, she would never have had happen to her what happened. David was not up on the roof looking for a woman walking the streets. He was up on the roof walking around de-stressing or who knows what. And he happened to see something he shouldn't have seen. And it led him to sin. Now, this isn't part of Bathsheba, but part of David that is very, very important. What David saw that day is something that no man in the United States of America can live a lifetime without seeing. We get to see it all the time, because whether or not you ever physically, personally see a girl undressed in real life, it is every time you turn your head somewhere, somebody has pictures and the internet and on, it's there for everybody to see. What David should have done at the moment that he saw Bathsheba was he should have just walked off from the situation and did everything in his power to block what he saw out of his mind. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not a possibility. I do not believe that there's any sanctification on the face of the earth that is listed in the scriptures or that we have ever seen in real life that would ever block the view from David's mind that he saw. What David saw when he was standing on his roof was something that would be etched into his memory permanently forever until his dying day. He would never forget the sight. That is always true about situations like that. If any of you guys have learned how to block sights like that from your mind, you should probably take the evening meeting tonight and teach on it. I am not aware, I have never heard such a story in my life. So, that's what he should have done. He should have walked away from the situation. He should have gone away and he should have gotten his mind somewhere where it could have been clean. And if he felt that he was tempted to do something to her, he should have immediately gone and sat down with one of his wives and told her the whole story. Now, we know from past experience of dealing with wives that she would have sat there and cried as he told her the story. She would be like, "How can you do that to me, David?" And she would have sobbed to him, and she would have been hurt that he would have, and I don't know, but it's irrelevant. The fact of the matter is, he should have put himself in a place of safety at that moment instead of what he did to, which was to consider the options of this situation and to see if he could get something. That was where he went wrong. Sin comes and tempts us all the time. It's very common to be tempted by sin. It is, generally speaking, most people do not yield to most temptations. Just think for a minute of a thief. There are thieves that steal habitually all the time, but they never steal 99.9% of all the things they ever see. They only steal some of the things they see. Now, I wish I could say it differently, but I'm going to tell the truth this morning. There wasn't any woman living in the kingdom of Israel in David's day that if she presented herself undressed to David, she would not have been a temptation. There's no such thing. That kind of reality is a fiction in some girls' minds, and some boys pretend that it is a fiction, but it's not the truth. We are not here to deny, we are not going to deny the fact that girls have that power over guys. It doesn't matter what your name is, who you are, what nationality you are. It doesn't matter. There is exceptions to the general rule. Here's the exception. Boys are not as likely to be tempted by their sisters as they are by every other girl on earth. And boys are not very likely to be tempted by girls who are significantly older than them. And there are certain other specific situations in life where a certain personality or type of a girl repulses some guys. But other than a few general exceptions, generally speaking, guys have a certain level of attraction to every single girl there is. The older you get, the worse it gets. Because when you're a 20-year-old, you're only attracted to girls that are 30 and under. When you are 80 years old, you are attracted to all of them. Because as the age grows in attraction, as you age, the starting age that you're attracted to when it starts at 12 and 13 doesn't change. Now, I apologize for speaking filthy up here this morning, but I'm going to do it because it is the truth. One of the things, and I'm not going to look at this subject this morning, but we will reserve this for next time we study in this chapter. One of the things that I do want to say absolutely emphatically is that the outside influences are the least things that are likely to destroy your marriage. They are the least. They exist. They are very strong sometimes. They need to be guarded against. We need to work against them. But they are the least important thing that you will ever have to work with. Some girls go crazy trying to protect their husbands in this modern day and age when girls don't wear clothes. And in fury and trouble trying to keep their guys from seeing this stuff that they shouldn't see, insanely jealous. And fine, go ahead and exercise some of that. But remember that your guy is going to be he is going to see things like that, and it is not going to be an issue in your marriage and life. It is not going to be an issue in his life on the condition that the other parts of your marriage and life together are taken proper care of. That is the most important thing that we need to do, is to take care of what's in the home. We need to take care of those attitudes. We need to keep that love fed and growing. And we need to keep accountability. And there's many things that we need to do to make a marriage strong. If we do those things, those outside influences will never, ever enter or break our marriage. They cannot get into a marriage that is secured. But they will try. We as Christians want to do everything in our power to minimize the effect of this type of temptation on humanity by proper relationships with people and the wearing of proper clothes. Now, Bathsheba, again here, we have to remember that in her innocence, she did what she did, almost certainly. Almost certainly, the Bible doesn't say it, but I'm just going to say it anyway. Almost certainly, she had no intentions whatsoever of seeking anything. She thought that she was hidden. She was probably behind a wall, but when somebody was on a rooftop, it didn't matter. She was visible, but she was visible accidentally. She was not out walking the street without her clothes. She was at her own home, in her own yard, taking proper care of herself. And it happened by chance that a guy happened to be in the wrong place. Now, it is something that I'm just going to say that even though she was innocent, it is something that all girls should remember, the importance of taking care of themselves in a proper manner. There are some girls who become very, very flippant about this subject and don't really give a hoot. And they'll say with their own mouths, "I don't care if anyone sees me, it doesn't matter." And no, you can't have that kind of an attitude, because God gave it to you as a duty to take care of and protect yourself. So, I want to give you an illustration. I almost brought bananas to church. I was going to put a table up here, when I spoke on this, and I was going to put all sorts of bananas on it. If somebody were to set out a table of bananas and say, everybody can come up here and get one banana, you would all come up here, assuming you like bananas, you'd all come up here and you would look for that banana. When you looked over the set of bananas, you would probably choose one in particular because it was either the biggest or the tiniest or the yellowest or the greenest or the one that had a couple brown spots on it. Depending on what your taste was, you would choose a specific banana off the table. And there might be 15 specific bananas on the table that would interest you, but then you would just choose one of them. But if there was only one banana on the table, and I said, you can have that banana, you wouldn't be choosy at that point. You wouldn't say, well, which one do I want? There's only one. I don't think most girls understand this, and I will tell the truth. I have done my diligence. I do not speak on the subject of clothes without having spent much time in hearing people's voices, what people think. And it has been extremely interesting to me over the years to note that we are 10 times more likely to get an honest assessment of the situation from the world than we are from the church. Because the church knows what God's standards are. And so in order for them to live in difference from God's standards, they have to have a good reason. The world doesn't care about God's standards. They just do what they want. So the world understands what attraction is, what girls undressing does, and they say it's fine. We do this on purpose. We do this to attract people. And so on. And then every once in a while you get a person from a Christian setting and they want to sit there and deny, oh, guys aren't like that. Guys don't do that. Girls don't dress like this for that. And they sit and deny the situation. Oh, it doesn't help. It doesn't help. I've spoken to way too many people. I've gotten way too many opinions. And only a tiny little percentage of the people that I've ever talked to about all these subjects have ever denied the things that I'm going to teach this morning. I'm here to tell you, if you are a girl, I wish your mind could be clean and you didn't have to know this, but it's for your protection. If you are a girl and you are over 13 years old, that the likelihood is that there is very few guys on the face of the entire earth that would not have a certain level of attraction to you if put in the right situation. Now, hopefully, the guys you go to church with are clean inside. Hopefully, they're not looking for anything. Hopefully, they are not thinking sexual thoughts about all the girls that they are with. But I'm going to tell you that there isn't any guy sitting in this room today that if you did not go and put yourself in his face without the things that God told you to wear, there is not one guy sitting in this room who would not have a certain level of temptation to just about any girl. Just about any girl. I don't mean that he would do anything. I don't mean he would go crazy. I don't mean he would sin. But I mean there is a certain level of attraction that exists between guys and girls that crosses the entire board. It is the world over. You feel it to a certain degree towards everybody, and if nurtured, is usually the place where it leads people wrong. It needs a little bit of nurture to actually grow into a situation where you actually choose that person for a girlfriend or for a wife, or you commit a sin with her or something. Usually it takes a little bit of nurturing. It's not a common situation in the decent parts of society for things to happen like they happened with David and Bathsheba. This is the kind of thing you will see in the bar scene. But this is not necessarily normal in normal society. Normal society is going to usually take a little bit more temptation than just seeing a woman without her clothes before you go after her. Because there is some billions worth of women on the earth. And because we have our choices of all these bananas, we choose the one that we find that particular attraction to. But what I am trying to tell you is that there is no girl on earth that should feel like she is immune from bothering guys, all guys. Do I have anything in the scripture to back up the fact that I believe that to be true? If you go to Romans chapter 8, it says in verse 13, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Now, if the Bible says if you live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. This is a salvation story. We are talking about every human, man and woman on the face of the earth. Every single person on the face of the earth has a body of flesh that if they do the natural dictates of the body, they will die. Every single person. There is nobody excepted from this. There's nobody on earth that is living in this pure state where they would only ever be attracted to their wife and would only ever want right things and would only ever want to live a clean life. There's no person on earth that if they did not follow the dictates of their flesh, their physical being, every single person on earth, if they follow those dictates that come from inside, would die because those dictates will lead every single person wrong. Now, if the Bible said, if your flesh dictates bad things and you live after the flesh, you'll die, then there might be an exception. If the Bible said, if your flesh tells you to do something wrong and you listen, then there might be a person over here who their flesh doesn't tell them to do something wrong. But that's not the way it says it. It just simply says if you do the things that your flesh suggests to you, you'll die because every single person on earth has their flesh suggesting evil things to them. Now, if you run to Galatians chapter 5, and where Paul will actually tell us a little bit about the flesh and the desires of the flesh, it's interesting to note as we go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest," or visible. The works of the flesh are visible, which are these: adultery, fornication. And then he goes on a whole long list of all the things that are the works of the flesh. Now, if the works of the flesh, if Paul wants to bring to the human race the works of the flesh, and he begins through the list of the things that the flesh does, the first two things that he lists on his list are what we are talking about this morning. That every single human being on the face of the earth, no matter what your name is tempted to sin with somebody of the opposite sex. Every single person on earth. You can be girl or boy. It is in your being to feel that way. There's only one way that you're going to be a Christian and that you are going to do right, and that is that you are going to, through the Spirit, mortify what your flesh actually wants. So, okay, guys, let's admit it. There is no reason to sit here and deny and pretend that you don't have a flesh like that, because I'm going to tell all the people this morning that you do. And if you deny it, and me and God both say that you do, all you're doing is making yourself a fool. You do. You do have such a flesh. Your flesh is tempted by sin. And the only way that you can be right with God is for you to mortify the temptations of the flesh through the Spirit of God. That's all. We are tempted by outside influences. Again, this is not, honestly, this is not the most likely way for a marriage to fall apart. The most likely way for a marriage to fall apart is by destruction inside the home. That's the way they usually happen. But it is possible for a person to utterly destroy their marriage in a moment of time by a moment of temptation. It is, such a thing is possible. And the temptation that comes from girls is significantly stronger than most girls anywhere in the world have any understanding of. I have had occasion to argue with lots and lots of people on the subject of modesty. What kind of clothes should you wear and why? And most girls are extremely ignorant of how guys look at them and what guys think. They are extremely ignorant. Let me talk a little bit about the dating scene or the love scene or whatever you want to call it, where boys and girls interact with love and hate, because many times it includes a ton of both. There is a proper way that attraction happens between a guy and a girl, where there is a wide array of things about this boy and this girl who draw them to each other. And that wide array of things are seen, felt, nourished, and a relationship is formed, and there is a withholding of self from each other while that relationship develops. It's a mutual respect and love that develops into what we could call a good marriage. There's another way that boys and girls are attracted to each other that is on a completely, completely different level. It's very common, especially in young people, where they see each other and it's just like two magnets coming together. What on the face of the earth should I exercise any willpower to resist pursuing this girl when I met her 30 seconds ago? I mean, she's everything that she's beautiful. I mean, she's amazing. Why should I hold myself back? And you know what girls, generally speaking, extremely, extremely resent that kind of pursuit. And not just that kind, but anything where a guy goes a little bit faster than they want to go. Because this is the way the attraction generally works. Generally speaking, though there's piles of different personalities and exceptions, generally speaking, guys' attraction to a girl are what attracts the girl to the guy. It's a starting point, and there's a response. And of course, a young girl can go around pretending she loves boys, and she can love literally hundreds of them. The one that she eventually marries and that she sticks with is the one that loved her. And you can deny anything you want, but that's usually the way it goes. The guy loves the girl, and she's attracted to him. So now he was attracted to her before she loved him. He was attracted to her before she knew anything. He was attracted to her possibly in the first 30 seconds that he set his eyes on her, maybe even in the first 1.5 seconds. And if not in that short amount of time, it could have been in the first evening that he spent with her. Or sometimes it takes a little longer. Sometimes you have to get to know the person for a month and then all of a sudden realize just exactly what kind of qualities and beauty they have and whatever. But that guy starts with some attraction to the woman. And then she responds and starts to like the fact that he likes her and that she's feeling loved and that he's doing things for her and you name it. But now, if a guy gets out of hand with girls in any type of relationship, whatever, you can go up to a woman and you maybe touch her, like what you would call a proper touch between boys and girls. Like you might touch her hair and say, "Oh, you have nice hair," and you can get hit really hard when you do something like that because she's mad. "Leave your hands off of me." And it's the way the guy-girl relationship gets. Honestly, there is more rebuff of guys from the girl world than there is acceptance. Guys would get a lot more if there wasn't. Guys pursue girls in ways that are improper or possibly even proper sometimes, possibly things that don't even have any meaning more than just general love and friendship, and they get yelled at, they get hated, they get hit, etc., etc. But we have to understand that there is another thing that works exactly the same way, that attraction. I can't put this into words right now, but we'll try to explain through it. Guys can be attracted to girls instantaneously upon first sight, like them a lot. But when the guy pursues the girl, he gets met with a refusal, anger, hatred, etc. But guys have the same kind of feelings in a totally different realm from the girl side of things that confuses them. Because I'm going to tell you girls something that you maybe never were told before, but you need to hear it. When a girl walks up to a guy or into a room with guys or whatever, and she does not have the proper clothes on, he thinks that she is doing to him the very things that he tries to do to her. That it goes straight into his mind that way. It gets very confusing to a guy to be with a girl who is not properly dressed, where to the inside of a guy's heart, it feels like she's asking for something, and she's asking for absolutely nothing. And he gives the response to her that she should be asking for if she was dressed the way she is, and she turns on him. And guys get very confused by this, because it seems like a girl's offering herself up to the first person who comes, and then he pursues the natural tendencies of his heart, and she hates him for the rest of her life. Well, the fact of the matter is there are certain things that people do that have a certain way. It's a language. It's how we speak. It's how we speak in the courtship world. And anytime, I don't care who you are, what your name is, I don't care where you're going, if you don't dress in the proper manner, guys take it to mean something. It's the way it is. I lived an extremely sheltered life when I was growing up, and it took me a little bit of time when I started dealing with girls of the world. I didn't know what to do with it. I could not understand. I shouldn't even tell the story, but this was the first most confusing thing that ever happened to me in my life. When I was but about 20 years old or so, and had seriously never seen a girl in real life in a swimsuit ever in my life. I was towing, and I got called up to this house to pick up a vehicle, and went and knocked on the door, and this girl came to the door in nothing, and she was wearing the skimpiest swimsuit you could buy at any store. And the house was on a lake, so it is possible that she was out there swimming that morning, but she was at that moment in the house, and I didn't know what to do. I thought I was supposed to run, but the problem was she answered the door, and she knew how she was dressed. And it is a complete confusion to a guy why a girl would ever do that when she isn't dressed fit to be seen in public. But she's comfortable. And to us it means something completely different. Somehow she is stupid enough to think, and I think this is actually the truth, she's stupid enough to think that what she is doing doesn't affect anything. But you know what? Guys generally interpret it the other way. If I was to use my own personal logic, and I had no understanding of the situation, I had never spoken to girls about this subject, and had never gotten their side of the story, I would believe when she called for a tow truck to come, she said, "A guy's coming out. I'm going to take advantage of this." And she went and got in her skimpy clothes to meet me at the door. That's what my brain would tell me if I didn't know better. She knew a guy was coming. She hoped it would be me. Why wouldn't every girl think so? And I have had to tell myself no about that type of subject hundreds of times in my life. When when some girl walks into my presence and I don't need to tell any stories. And it's like, do you really think she didn't know what she was doing? Do you really think she wasn't trying to show me something? Because inside I feel like she was, but I've talked to enough of them to think that they probably really weren't. They're probably just kind of ignorant of what they're doing. And now, I'm not saying that no girls ever do this, because we know that as you go out into the world and a girl is hungry for love and she's out there seeking a guy, she will do things like that. We all know that. And it's funny that the people who are looking know that those kinds of things attract guys, but the people who aren't looking seem to be ignorant. I don't know. I'm not sure how to put all that together, but it seems to be the truth. You know what the Bible says about girls that don't dress right? I don't care if they're ignorant or if they're not ignorant. There's one verse in the Proverbs that says, "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion." You don't have to know what you're doing. If you don't have the sense to know what you're doing and you aren't taking care of yourself, you're like somebody who made a beautiful jewel of gold and put it in a pig's ear. It's in the wrong place. It doesn't belong there. Those beautiful jewels of gold were meant to go in a beautiful girl's nose, I guess. If we believe in nose rings. I don't even believe in earrings. It's like a jewel of gold in a swine snout. And girls lower themselves so badly by accepting the customary dress standards of our day, where it's okay to go around in practically nothing, and they don't seem to get the idea that they are extremely and wildly affecting their guys. And guys, let me tell you something. Because there are the two levels of attraction that guys are attracted to girls. There's the one level that can happen instantaneously upon seeing a person's face or anything else. That's a very low level of attraction, but it exists very strongly all over the place. There's another much, 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 much higher level of attraction where you get to know a girl by her insides, by her personality, and her spirit, and her whatever, and you become very attracted to her as with a lot of love and respect and what have you. And you are 1,000 times more likely to very seriously attract your best friends from church than you are the guys that walk down the sidewalk by your clothes. That is the truth. You walk down the sidewalk and you dress halfway, the guys pass you with barely a look. If they can get a chance to look without anyone seeing them, they probably will take the chance. But there won't be a whole lot there. They'll look out of curiosity, they'll walk on. You dress the wrong way in front of your best friends who know you and like you and love you and spend time with you, and you will forever and ever put something into them that never should have been there. Because there's already a much deeper foundation. I'm not talking about guys who are attracted to you personally, okay? If Stephanie, who's sitting on the front seat right here, you guys might not be able to see her, but she's sitting right here in this chair on the front seat. If she's best friends with Brandon, but Brandon has no interest in marrying her, he's not overly attracted to her, they do not have a dating relationship, but they're just both single and they're great friends. That is the situation. She's not going to make him want to marry her if she doesn't dress right, but she is going to give him a whole level of attraction to her that he should never have known or thought about, in spite of the fact that he continues to not be interested in marrying her. It's very damaging. And I have to read you. I wish I could look up this whole article, but I can't get to it. I read it a year or so ago, and I can't get it now unless I subscribe to this Wall Street Journal, which I'm not about to do. But I'm going to read you the first paragraph. The title of the article is called Cheap Sex and the Decline of Marriage. And I've talked about this before. It's happening all over the place. Girls are starving for permanent attention and commitment from guys and are not getting it. And you know why they're not? Because guys are getting what they want without the commitment. And that's what this article is about. But I just want to read you the first paragraph here. It says, Kevin, a 24-year-old recent college graduate from Denver, wants to get married someday and is almost 100% positive that he will. But not too soon, he says, because I'm not done being stupid yet. I still want to go out and have sex with a million girls. He believes that he's figured out how to do that. I hate to tell you the truth, guys, but Kevin is a representative of the male race without God. I wish guys were better than that, but they're not. That's why the Bible says if you live after the flesh, you shall die. And every single man that is sitting in this room is made out of the same red clay that Adam and Kevin were made out of. Same flesh, same desires, same propensities. Every single person here, if they follow their flesh, it will lead them to not only trouble in this life, but eternal death. The works of the flesh are adultery and fornication, among many other things. And I want you to notice that in these few verses that we read about Bathsheba, all throughout the scriptures, the Bible, being God's perfect word, tells us that girls are beautiful. Okay? But I want you to notice that this is the, I think, one of two times in all of the scriptures that there's any other word put to emphasize beautiful. It says that from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now, the fact of the matter is all girls are very beautiful. It doesn't matter who they are or where they are. All girls are very beautiful. We sometimes call some girls super beautiful and some girls somewhat plain. But the fact of the matter is that's not true. That's through specific eyes when we talk like that. All girls are very beautiful. But not all men are equally attracted to all girls. Some prefer one kind and some prefer another kind. But when David saw Bathsheba washing herself, she wasn't wearing at least all her clothes. It doesn't say she was naked, but she certainly wasn't totally dressed. The Bible says she was very beautiful. You don't usually see that when the Bible is speaking about women being beautiful. But this is God's interpretation. She was very beautiful. This was how David felt. There was a situation one time, if I'm going to tell stories against myself, I may as well tell another one. There was a girl that doesn't work at Golden Harvest anymore, but she was there for a few years. And I never honestly thought a single thought about her. She never attracted me at all. She was young, about 20 years old or so. We have a certain specific standard of dress that we require everybody at the store to dress by. And so they all come to work with their clothes on. And she had never entered my head once. I honestly, if you had asked me, I would have said she was somewhat plain. She wasn't that pretty. I mean, she was an average girl, but I didn't think she was that pretty. One day, we scheduled a meeting, and she was one of the girls that had to be at that meeting. But she didn't come to the meeting. She wasn't at work that day. So we asked her if she would be able to come in for the meeting, and she did. And she came in shorts and a very skimpy shirt. And I could not believe the difference. I was absolutely shocked when I saw her because I hadn't thought she was pretty. And she was so absolutely stunning, I didn't know what to do. I couldn't even think straight for the meeting. I had never felt a feeling of attraction to her till she came in with only half her clothes on. I still don't like her. I do have a girl that is still on top, and she rules all the world of girls with her little finger. And so I'm fine. But I shocked myself by what I felt that day about a girl that I had never thought had any particular beauty at all. And for the first time, I saw her not wearing enough. David said, God said that Bathsheba was very beautiful. And that is the way that guys feel about girls. And you can put it down. You can say, there's nothing wrong with wearing shorts. I stand up here, told by God to tell you the things that I'm saying this morning out of this book. No girl has any business in shorts ever. They're wrong. Don't you think for a moment that you can interpret the scriptures according to what our modern society has done and where the fallen church has gone, and that you can be right with the Bible. You can't. God didn't put girls in shorts. I had another thing that was very important, and I lost it. Yes. Do you want to live by the standards that evangelical Christianity has accepted as right? Would you like, along with the standards that they have accepted as right, to also accept the trouble that is in their churches along with it? This morning I was looking at an article that listed, and I don't know where they got their information from. It was kind of silly, but it listed the 10 jobs that your partner was the most likely to stay faithful to you, and the 10 jobs that were the worst. Basically, the longevity of marriage was what they were looking at. If your partner works here, how likely is your marriage to survive versus here? And among the top 10 things that they said were the best things for your marriage was the clergy. If your partner was in the clergy, you only had a 20% chance of divorce. How's that? Now, if we take the world standards for dress and the world standards for boys and girls and the world standards for everything that the world is doing, if we accept that what the fallen church has accepted, do we want to accept a 20% divorce rate? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That means at least one person in this church has got to go. One person, one married couple of the people who are sitting in this room right now has to divorce. Who should we pick? Probably Jason and Angie. I want to rescue my sister. We don't have to accept that. I think that according to the scriptures that marriage is supposed to be permanent, it's supposed to be for life, and I think that God gave us a set of rock solid things to make it so. But if we are going to step away from the things that God says in the book that gives us standards for living and helps us on the right path, if we're going to walk away from those, we are going to take the consequences. Because the one doesn't come without the other. I'm going past my time. I'm going to quit. We'll dismiss for this hour.